At the end of the service here, I'm going to have a time of prayer and I'll ask you to join with me in prayer. But for now, we want to get into the Word of God. You know, last week I talked about the Spirit being God and that there's three persons, one God, three persons, and that God's Spirit indwells us and seals us in salvation. I talked about the Holy Spirit being our helper, our advocate, all the things that He brings into our life, and the strength and source of help and greatness He is. And today I just want to talk a little bit about interacting with the Spirit of God. You know, that there is a need for us to interact with Him in our spirit. Max Lucado, the pastor author that you mostly would all know, I just want to read you this is a real-life illustration that he uses in one of his books. He says, "I believe we can make the same mistake the Welsh woman made. She lived many years ago in a remote valley and felt it worth the cost and trouble to have electricity installed in her home." So she was going from oil lamp thing to electricity. So she paid the money to have it installed. Several weeks after the installation, the power company, in following up, noticed that there wasn't much power being used in that time. And a meter reader was sent out to see her. And he asked her, you know, "Is there a difficulty, a problem with your electricity? Is something not working?" And she went, no, it's I'm quite satisfied with it. In fact, every night I turn on the electric lights just to see how I can light my lamps. And then she would turn it off again. You see, we're prone spiritually to do that as well at times. You know, depending on God's Spirit, we depend on Him to save us and to sustain, or not to sustain us, not to be involved in a relationship with Him in our life moving forward. We turn to Him to get us started, and then we continue our faith in our own strength. Scripture urges us to keep in step with Him, and when He directs and leads us, we listen, we follow, because He has our best interests at heart. And we definitely plug into His power and we leave the switch on. We don't just turn it off at whenever we want to. Let me illustrate it a different way. No names being mentioned here, but somebody bought a new fridge and they brought it in from, you know, it was delivered. They unboxed it. They put it in the kitchen. You know, they put their stuff in the new fridge and they're all excited and you know, it was going to be great. So then they automatically decide to go to bed. So they go to bed. And then they get up in the morning, and they're all excited. You know, they're going to go into the fridge and get their breakfast stuff out. And they go in, and they open the door, and it's not cold. In fact, there's no light. There's nothing there. And they're confused, and they're trying everything, and nothing seems to work. So finally, they call the furniture company, the appliance company, and they're like, you know, this new fridge you got us and delivered, it's terrible. It doesn't work. It's pathetic. And they sort of went through a checklist with them and said, well, this happening. And they go, no. And they said, well, is there a light on? They went, no. And they went, well, look behind the fridge. He said, is there a cord attached to the fridge? And they said, yeah. He says, is it plugged into the wall? And they went, no. See, fridges don't work without electricity and power. You have to plug them in. And you know, we can be as strong as we want in our faith, and we can try to live our faith out as much as we want in our strength and our own power. But the bottom line is, God knew we couldn't do it. And that's why Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit would come into our lives, and that we wouldn't just ignore Him in the fact that He's there, but we would plug into His power and His resource, and that we would have this relationship with Him ongoing in our life, day after day after day. We can't ignore Him. We can't just push Him out of our minds. We've got to realize He's there, and He's having relationship with us every day. You think about Jesus for a moment, and Jesus' interaction with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit was intimately connected with Jesus throughout His life here on earth. You know, an angel told Mary, you know, back when she was given the message she would give birth, and the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, the Father anointed him with the Spirit when the Spirit came down upon him. And then Jesus was immediately driven into the wilderness by the Spirit for a season of testing. And Luke tells us that Jesus, when he went into the wilderness, was full of the Holy Spirit when it happened. And he afterward returned to Galilee out of the wilderness, and the Bible tells us that he went out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' first public reading, his first sermon, if you may, he stated he fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy of a Spirit-anointed ministry. You see, he began to read Isaiah 61, 1-4, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They'll raise up the former devastations, and they'll repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations." You know, it's a prophecy that came upon Jesus, and Jesus was going to fulfill this prophecy from Isaiah, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and the Spirit enabled Jesus to fulfill his ministry for his Father, who had called him to be on earth here for our behalf, and he gave him power. And his influence, or the Spirit's influence, causes others to be influenced, and so on and so on. So we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we allow the Holy Spirit to empower our lives so that it's not just about us, but that the Spirit flows through us to minister to other people. Peter, in summarizing Jesus' ministry, stated this: how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And when skeptical religious leaders accused Jesus of casting out demons by satanic power, Jesus said to them in the end of his address to them, he said, "If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." In his death, Jesus offered himself as an atoning sacrifice through the Holy Spirit. And Paul tells us that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. And I read this last week, but I need to reemphasize Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And folks, we need to really let this sink in. It says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." You see, the Spirit of God was upon Jesus, and Jesus did all these wonderful things, but he was all God, and yet he was all man, but he relied on the Holy Spirit to do these things, and even upon death, he relied on the Holy Spirit to raise him from the dead. And that same power, Paul tells us, is at work in your life and in my life. That we need to be involved and allow the Holy Spirit to be involved in our lives, because it's his power that gives us life in our faith. And life to live a joyful life on this earth, even when circumstances are really terrible. That we can have that hope and that confidence and that strength and that power at work in our lives. And here's my key thought this morning in interacting with Jesus. If Jesus Christ, God's Son, needed and relied on the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit? How much more do we need to rely on him? We can't do it ourselves. Church, we need the Holy Spirit, the presence of the living God that's within us to help us in every aspect of our lives. You know, probably if not the most important primary goal of the Holy Spirit in our lives and interacting with us, you know, it's got to be right up there, but the primary goal would be to make you and I look a lot like Jesus. A lot like Jesus. And that would lead us to being powerful witnesses and having lives that are full of faith and fullness. You know, that goal is more important than the experiences we have with the Holy Spirit. You know, yeah, we want to see the Holy Spirit move out tangibly, visibly. You know, we want to see people healed. We want to see people's lives transformed and changed. We want to see God just sort of influence our lives with His presence so that we feel happy and glad and really allow God to move and work in our lives. But the experience is not more important than the primary goal of the Holy Spirit transforming your life and transforming my life to look more like Jesus. Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:17 said this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." You see, the Spirit is transforming Christ's image into each of us. This signifies that the Holy Spirit is ongoingly, daily processing His work in us. And through us, as we cultivate our relationship with Christ, He is completely transforming and renewing and making us something more incredibly beautiful for the kingdom of God. It's not a one-time occurrence. We're filled with the Spirit, you know, just when we trusted our lives to Jesus, but it's ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, in any relationship, whether you have a spouse today or you have your child or parent, friends, good friends, any one of those relationships, you know you have to cultivate that relationship. You don't just say hi to them one day, you know, let's be friends, and then never do anything about it. Never spend time with them, never talk to them. It just makes no sense, right? You'd never get to know them. And 10, 20 years down the road, you can't go, they're your best friend because you barely know them. It's the same thing with God. We need to spend time with the Spirit of God, and that's why the Bible instructs us to be still, and the Bible instructs us to meditate on His Word, because it allows us the opportunity for the Spirit of God to really build a relationship in our lives, a relationship that causes us to trust Him, to know Him, and to experience Him in all day, our aspects, hours of our day. You see, our goal as Christians is to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our character so that we bear a lot of fruit. In other words, exude Christ-likeness. Now, I'm not going to get into that today because Pastor Tiffany is going to bridge into that whole area in our lives. But, you know, we need to allow the Spirit to influence us and transform us into the character of Jesus. J.L. Packer, author, pastor as well, many of you have heard of him. You know, he calls the Holy Spirit's, this ministry of Him, you know, transforming us into Christ-likeness as floodlight ministry. Now, you don't see this today, but others do in the building here, but we have some spotlights that are on the back wall here shining on me right now. And, of course, if I look at them, I get blinded. But, you know, the point of these spotlights is to illuminate the pulpit here and to illuminate me so that you can see me clearly as you watch the live stream today. It's a help to try to bring that out. And J.L. Packer says, when floodlighting is well done, the floodlights are so placed that you don't see them. You're not, in fact, supposed to see them or where the light is coming from. What you are meant to see is just the building, the actor, the scene, the pastor preaching, whatever it's shining upon is what you're supposed to see and what they're trained. And it perfectly illustrates the Spirit's new covenant role. He is, so to speak, the hidden floodlight shining on the Savior. And the Spirit's message to us is never, look at me, listen to me, come to me, get to know me, but it's always, look at Jesus. See His glory. Listen to Him, hear His word, go to Him, have life in Him, get to know Him, and taste of His gift of joy and peace. The Spirit, we might say, is a matchmaker whose role it is to bring us, the bride, to Christ. and together ensure that we stay together with Him in relationship. And He leads us continually to Jesus and causes us to draw near to Jesus so that Jesus will become more a part of the fullness of our lives. Now, you know the good news about all this? We don't have to strive to do any of this on our own. In fact, as I said earlier, it's impossible. We just can't do it. It's the Holy Spirit who's transforming us and reproducing the life of Christ in our lives. It's not something we can conjure up or do on our own. It's something the Holy Spirit does in our lives as we surrender our lives and we become involved in His awareness of His presence in our lives and allowing Him to empower us. Now, every day, I would suggest that we should seek to maintain that awareness of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Every day we should, throughout the day and each day of our lives, just be aware of His presence and have that, as the Bible would describe it, praying without ceasing. It's just really having a conversation with God all the time, being aware that He's in your life and with you. We are called to interact with the Spirit of God so that we can be led closer to Jesus. He supplies, the Holy Spirit supplies everything you and I need to live a godly life. He points us to Jesus. He guides us. He transforms us. He helps us. He empowers us. He produces Christ-likeness in us. And the big question today is that, will you and I allow Him to do that? It always comes back to us. You see, we have a free will that God has given us. It's a unique gift that God gave us as His creation. Something that no other creation has. We as humans, as God's children, have this unique ability to have a free will. And we can choose to let God be more full in our lives, or we can hold our hand at bay at Him. He's a gentle spirit. Will I allow the Holy Spirit to flourish in our lives, to interact with Him, to have relationship with Him? Will we say yes? I hope this has encouraged you today, because I think as we look at our world and we see some of the things that have gone on, and we probably have a lot of questions in life right now, and you know, there's just so many views and so many points of view. Why not have one person who's God be the closest person to us? And why not allow the Holy Spirit to answer the questions and to lead us into all truth, as the Bible describes He will? We never have to wonder. We never have to guess. We can just know that we know that we know that the Spirit is with us and He's helping us to be led in all truth. Let's take a moment and pray. In fact, people, church, I'm going to conversationally pray, if that's okay. I'm going to not close my eyes, and I'm going to just talk this out. And if you could be in agreement with me through this. Thinking about today, the events of Kamloops in the past week, where they discovered this grave by the residential school, the old residential school, 250 kids' bodies that they've discovered. They don't know all the facts, but the fact is that there are bodies there and their children. And given the history and given the horrific events that took place, you know, myself, along with the National Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, just want to encourage us all to be in prayer for all those that are affected by that, and for families that were torn apart, and just that we could somehow be understanding, and that we could understand how God wants us to, be in a spirit of reconciliation and prayer and comfort for those that need it at this time. What a horrific thing. Pray for God's will to be done on earth in the season we're in. You know, that God's will be accomplished and, be done just as it is in heaven. That we would know God's will for this world, for our world that we live in here in Prince George and British Columbia. That God's will be done through all of this. That God would hold back the virus right now, and that he would bring all of this to a conclusion. You know, in being in mind that his will is being accomplished, and we want that first and foremost, but that God would bring it to a conclusion and allow us to gather freely together here in the building again. That God would bring peace to our country and to the world, because there's a lot of lack of peace and unrest and violence and hopelessness and just turmoil and in every aspect of life, including the political thing, the scenes. So in every way, that God would bring peace to allow his will to be accomplished, and that God would build his church amidst all of it, that God would build his church and people would be transformed by Jesus, and continually the church would grow and become more prosperous and more vital in this generation that we find ourselves in, that God would build you and I up in our faith, and that we would be more fruitful in the days ahead, and that we would be faithful to him. And I pray today that God would do something new and incredibly powerful in Prince George and in the surrounding area, that we would be a part of that, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out, and literally we would see something we've never seen ever before in our world and in Prince George. I pray for every church, including our own local church here, that we would be alive, and that we would be vibrant, and that we would be so in tune with the Spirit of God, and we would see ourselves being used to benefit this city and the world around us. I pray for every pastor in this area as we try to navigate through this time and this season. And folks, I pray for myself, because it's been an interesting journey over these last month and a half, trying to make sure that listening to the Spirit of God, and I believe that I've been truthful in asking him, is this the way we should go? Is this the way we should do these things? And believe that God has not given me any urgency to do otherwise. So just that God would give me wisdom, and every pastor in our area, wisdom as we navigate through this. And that no matter what, that the church in Prince George will not be divided. That we will continue to be in unity, no matter we might not see things eye to eye, but we still have that one cause, and that's Jesus Christ. And that we would stay, and that people will know Jesus because we love one another. And even through difficult times, we don't agree, that we can see that the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God is more important than what I think or what I believe. I pray for all of you. I pray for everyone in our church family, that your spirit and my spirit would be revived, that we would be full of the Holy Spirit, and that our faith will be rekindled, and our faith will be growing, and we would be passionate about Jesus, and we'd be passionate about his church, and we'd be passionate about the world around us. And thereby we would be fruitful, and that we would honor Jesus above everything else. Pray also today for Deb Disler and Glenn and the family. Deb being in her second week of treatments for her cancer, and that she right now is actually there in her second week of treatments. Every 2 weeks she goes, and she sent a text this morning and just saying that she's appreciating all the prayer that's going up for her with her church family and the interceding that we're doing on her behalf. And she has to fly in and out of Vancouver, Prince George, every time she does the treatment. We also want to pray for Steve Pudney and his family. Steve's mom went and passed away and went to be with the Lord a couple mornings ago. And we just want to encourage him, encourage his dad, and bless them and ask the Lord to strengthen them. And just be, you know, just everything that needs to be done, that they would just be able to be provided that by God's Spirit leading them. But we hearts go out for you guys and your family. Pray for others this morning, whether you're in the building here today or you're on live stream here. You know, if you have a need this morning, that in Jesus' name, the Spirit of the living God would just meet with you right now. If you need to be healed, that you would be healed in his name. If you need wisdom, that he'd give it to you right now. If you need to have your faith revitalized and filled more with the Spirit, that he would do that right now in your location. Whatever it is, God, I pray for every individual in the building and on the live stream this morning that, God, you would just do a good, wonderful work as they lift up their request to you. And God, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your Spirit that's at work in our lives. And Holy Spirit, I invite you in all of our lives, just over these next few days, weeks, that you would just draw us to those quiet places where we can just reflect on you and reflect on Jesus and the Father's love for us. And God, would you help us to navigate through these hopefully end season, God, of our province, and help us to navigate it well. I pray even now, anybody that has some depression or just a mental fatigueness or weariness in all of this, that God, you just lift them up today and refresh them. But Holy Spirit, would you help us to learn how to interact with you more and more and more? We need you. I'm just so thankful and grateful for a God who's called us to salvation and who loves us and has never left us or forsaken us, who's given us everything we need pertaining to this life so that we can live godly, righteous, joy-filled, peaceful lives, empowered by the Spirit to do great things for God. We are grateful today, God, for all of that. You're so wonderful, God, and we praise and we give you glory, and we thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I get an amen in the building? Oh, I like it. I like that. I like to hear that. So, folks, I'm looking forward to meeting together with you soon, and let's continue to have a relationship over the next little while. I'm looking forward to having lunch, dinner, coffee, whatever with you. And it's going to be awesome having and building community again together.